Lake Effect continues now on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. The month of March is marked as a time to celebrate women's history in America. For many, living legend Jewel Tice Williams is an important figure.
She's the founder of the legendary Los Angeles nightclub, The Catch One. For four decades, The Catch was a place where politicians and everyday people of all colors, cultures, and backgrounds could come together and dance the night away, and more importantly, be accepted.
Tice Williams opened the club in the mid-70s, a time when racism was still rampant, along with open discrimination against people of the LGBT community, even ahead of the AIDS crisis. As a lesbian in the African-American community, Williams says she saw the need to open a place that could serve as a sanctuary for everyone. The oldest black-owned disco in America was not just a place to dance, but a community hub that expanded into a vegan cafe and community health center.
A recent documentary, Jewel's Catch One, chronicles the club's and its owner's journey. It features interviews with Sharon Stone, Thea Austin, Thelma Houston, and many others. It was directed by C. Fitz, who came to Milwaukee for a screening last fall, along with Tice Williams and performer Thea Austin.
They joined Audrey Nowakowski in the studio, and Fitz starts by explaining how Jewel and The Catch One caught her attention.
I met her six and a half years ago. I volunteered to do a short piece on her, 2-3 minutes, because she was being honored for her community service. And as I initially researched her before I met her, I was like, wow, this is a lot. And by the time I did meet her in April 2010, I was just shaking my head saying, I don't know how I'm going to fit all of this into 2 to 3 minutes. We need to do a documentary on you. And she agreed. And as I researched it even more, just the massive amounts of community service, all that she built, not only Catch One, but the vegan restaurant at the time, the clinic, when she was 56 that she started, the Village Health Foundation. There's just so much to cover, and it was hard putting it into 84 minutes.
Exactly. Now, Jewel, documentaries are a very timely process. They're the span of, what I assume, at least months, maybe a year or
more.
It
took me six years.
6 years, so
six years.
Getting to know
Fitz. She's very patient.
This whole thing over 6 years, why did you agree to take part in this project?
Well, I welcomed the fact that Fitz wanted to do it. And not only did she want to do it, but initially she financed it, she shot it, she narrated it. She was really involved in it, and how could I not? With someone wanting to really tell your story, I feel like, well, maybe there is some importance to it. And little did I know that genius director-producer had crossed my path and was going to be not only doing the documentary for me, but become lifelong friends and associates too, and that was an added bonus.
Were you both nervous about anything at all?
Nervous about the volume of life, of service, of what she created, and trying to fit it into one film. And over the years, we collected such beautiful interviews, not only from patrons, but patients and celebrities, and it just kept growing. And the archival photos and footage and research, just that made me nervous because her life is so huge and it's undocumented. And it was my job to do a good job in telling the world about her voice that stood up against hate and racism and homophobia. So I was definitely nervous, but I'm happy with it.
Well, and that is such an important thing, to document these places and the people who support and run them. And it's been over 40 years or more that The Catch One has meant so much to not only patrons and friends, but the LGBT community, and then more importantly, the Black LGBT community. It really was the first place in LA for the Black gay community to go. So throughout all of it, what has the club meant for you, Jewel?
Well, it needless to say, changed my life because I grew up, for 42 of my 77 years, this was an everyday thing of eating, drinking, sleeping, and living it. I was very, very involved in it. And as a result, I grew, with it. And there were a lot of challenges and obstacles and transformations, just changing of ideas and thoughts about a lot of things that occurred with me, in addition to coming into a place where I liked me And that, you know, came along with years and years of various kinds of help, of work, of change, of recovery, of spirituality. The list goes on and on, and all of those contributed to who I am today. And at the end of our interviewing for the documentary, Fitz asked me the question, what would you change about your life, you know? And there was some pretty horrendous things that happened over the years from early childhood on. And I was able to respond honestly that I wouldn't change anything because that end result I'm pleased with. And I think I've worked on what it was that I came here for, and that was to help initiate change, not only for myself, but for others, and to, you know, help take care of the planet in a beneficial way.
Now, you yourself are the heart and soul, organs, blood, everything that kept this club running. But Thea, for you as a performer side of it, what are some of your favorite memories of performing at the Catch, and what made this space different compared to other venues that you've been?
Jules Catch One was an amazing place for people to celebrate life, celebrate music. She had the best DJ. They played the best music. And everyone was welcome. Although it was established by Jewel for herself and the Black, lesbian, and gay community, it morphed beyond, I'm sure, what her initial dream was. She was providing a place of refuge for the community to be free, to celebrate life. For me to be welcome there, it represented a space of just high celebration in life, a place of non-discrimination. And people could just go there and dance and be free and enjoy life. There was always, for me, always goodness in it from the time I stepped into her club into this moment in NPR. Thank you for your question.
Absolutely. Yeah. Jewel, the club has, as you mentioned, gone through many transformations and many obstacles, especially at the beginning, with everything from police intimidation, arrests, arson, taking a couple years to open up after that, the bureaucracy from the city, all the things that tried to keep the Catch closed. So throughout all of that, what was the source of your perseverance?
I would say that it was the spiritual connection, and then having parents that were dedicated to the success of their children, maybe not in terms of financial, but they wanted us all, and there were seven of us, to be educated, at least get our high school diplomas. And as it turns out, we all had some education, and several of us have advanced degrees too. And they never gave up, you know, at a time from very, 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 very humble beginnings, and I won't go through the details of that, but to still every day push the possibility of hope and possibilities of achieving something, of making something out of yourself that they didn't have access to in their time and place, but they wanted it for us. And the way that they stood up, you know, my dad was a union representative at his job for the 35 years or so that he was there. And I didn't even know about it. I didn't know because he was real passive with my mom, especially. And then when I heard that he was out, you know, leading the union and marching against all of the things that we're talking about, you know, the racism and that and discrimination with the elderly, because they wanted him to retire before his time. And so even though, you know, when I was a kid, might not have been aware of all of these things, the residue of it stayed with me, I think, from them just being tenacious and never giving up and would not let us give up under any circumstance.
That kind of family inherited work ethic and,
there you go,
and state of mind.
Oh, there was no such thing as leisure time. You know, we didn't go to movies. We didn't do any, you know, it had to be directed at either educating yourself or physical work or a job or something had to take place. So.
Okay. Now, with that hard work that goes into running and operating a club, you also have the other side of the patrons that come into the club every night that keep the money flowing and keep it going. But when you're struggling to reopen after the fire, you mentioned that, quote, it was a gay issue for the black people, and then it was a black and gay and female issue for the broader community. Do you find this true still today?
Sure. There's some of that exists. But for sure, also, there's been change, and there's been growth, and there's been an increase of compassion. When we see the news and we see Black Lives Matter, and we see Asians and Hispanics and Blacks and Whites, the Millennium kids are on it, you know. So the change has filtered down to them and broadened to the fact to indicate that it's real and it's really a part of a lot of young kids, whereas before, their parents maybe did not feel the same way that they did. And of course, their grandparents for sure almost did not feel the same. So we have a lovely mixture.
Now, Fitz, as you've been involved in this project and getting insight into Jewel's life and the life of the catch itself, what lessons did you learn from Jewel and what she's built?
That patience, tenacity, and perseverance pays off. I don't know how she stood up by herself to everything that she did and kept going after being burned down, after the city wouldn't give her permits, just roadblock after roadblock after roadblock. And she just kept figuring out how to open that club, open the doors on a tiny budget, and then also simultaneously build organizations like the AIDS Minority Project, because that's what was desperately needed for her community right then and there. And Ruse House, the shelter for women with AIDS and their kids. She just kept opening the doors and kept building. And so it's patience and perseverance, just like my documentary, 6 years. I never thought it would take 6 years. It's a perfect, in my mind, testament to her life so far, because she just opened a new clinic. And, you know, we could make a mini series out of it. The hardest thing was letting some of the footage go and drop to the edit floor, for sure. But it took a while to do it properly and hang in there, just like she did for her community, and keep making it right, making it better, making the film better, a better history lesson that's never been written before. So, yeah, patience and perseverance.
The Catch was referred to as a victory for every person in town in LA and how it affected them. And as now you've gone around telling the story of The Catch, how do you both feel revisiting The Catch's history and even your history of the two of you and your relationship over the past 6 years making this film? What new things have you noticed as you've gone around, or different perspectives from different global audiences?
It's been pretty amazing. And not only just Los Angeles audiences, but audiences on the East Coast and now abroad, leaving the film inspired just by watching her life, her incredible life of 42 years and all the things that she accomplished. So the film is really an unwritten textbook. It's an example of how one person can make a difference, how they can take their life and serve their community in a lot of different ways. So just in her life, she's giving you lots of ideas and examples of things you can do. She did them all because she's Jewel Tice Williams. But having people watch the film, watch Jewel's life, and then leaving inspired, especially now in the shadow of Orlando and senseless shootings and everything that's going on in the world today, to be a global example has been an honor. As a film, and also show the world Jewel's voice and hopefully touch some people, inspire some people, and give them a voice within themselves, because we all can do a little more.
The documentary Jewel's Catch One, and the way you built it up, and the club itself, and the film, you know, everything goes beyond the dance floor and beyond the screen in this case. So I want to thank you all, Fitz,
thank
Jewel,
you.
And Thea, for coming in today. It was a pleasure to have all of you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, thanks for the invite. It was great. Very cathartic.
C. Fitz is the director, and Jewel Tice Williams is the subject of the documentary Jewels Catch One. Fitz, Tice Williams, and performer Thea Austin joined Audrey Nowakowski in the studio when the documentary was screened in Milwaukee during last fall's LGBT Film Festival. There is more information and more of their conversation about the documentary at WUWM.com.